Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. Today, I want to say the show is going to be different in format than in the past. But once again, if you have received and read our promotion, you see the title kind of is two questions. And for those of you who don't get our promotion, you really should, let me tell you what is there. It starts off, it says, "Do you see what I see?" Question mark. "Do you hear what I hear?" Question mark. Two questions related to the same issue. And it's kind of like I'm asking you, the individual and the collective you, these questions. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? And I'm also throwing it out as a challenge and to see whether or not you can, on your own, put something together here in terms of what do you see and what do you hear. And the promo goes something like this, that, you know, a shocking show where Dr. Miller will connect words, and the words are dots. These are dots and words and concepts and theories and ideas and history lessons that I've given over the last three and a half years. And what I'm doing here is I'm saying, given that we've talked about these ideas, we talked about dots and connecting dots, and I'm saying to you, when you connect these dots, what do they spell out for you? What do they suggest? What kind of message do you see? And that message, and I gave you a hint, that message is that the Machiavellian agenda endgame is here. Now, some of you, and I think this is a very accurate statement, some of you have been with the War Report almost from its inception, in 3.5 years in the making. I know some have maybe recently joined in the last 3 or 4 months or what have you, and so you may not fully comprehend what it is that I'm asking, what I'm saying, and what I'm suggesting here, because you don't have that long-term familiarity with the show and some of the content that we've discussed over the last, say, 3.5 years. The Machiavellian agenda endgame, for example, I've talked about that very beginning of this show, that when the corporate state, and I define the corporate state as the state now controlling the government, whereas in the beginning it was the government in the form of a separate state who gave definition, life to corporation through legislation. States created this concept actually came from England a long time ago. And the notion of charter, not charter school, but the notion that a charter would be given to you by the king or by the church or what have you, and you can go and set up a business and what have you. That those days are gone when the state created corporations and they told corporations what they could not do, how they could and could not go about conducting business, et cetera. It's a flipping of that. Now it's the corporation, in my argument, that controls the state. And in this particular instance of the war on public education and how that war has been prosecuted, the corporate America could not, any way, shape, or form, do what it has done, do what it is doing, do what it seeks to continue to do without the government at the federal, the state, the county, the city, at the polls levels. Okay. I'm going to repeat that. The corporations could not do any of the crap that they're doing to public education and other areas of our lives without the state. Normally, when I said state, I'm talking about government. Normally, the federal government come out with legislation. You know the process. It's passed, it's signed into law that says this must be done, this must not be done, this you have to do, blah, 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 blah. The states then pass what is called enabling legislation. They create the law in their state to comply with and to be able to carry out, quote, the mandates of the federal law, and then down to the county and what have you. Okay. The Machiavellian agenda, I say that relationship between the state and the government had been turned upside down. The corporations own the government now, and the government does its bidding. When we talked about neoliberalism year and a half ago, I made a very strong point that under neoliberalism, the government now, its job is to pass legislation, enforce legislation that serves the corporate interest. And that in enforcing the will of the corporate onto the people, the government should, whenever necessary, use its military might to enforce and to ensure the laws that the corporate state deem to be the law of the land. Now, given that, I also said the Machiavellian agenda. Machiavelli, Niccolò Machiavelli, Italian, who was considered by many now to be the father of political science. He was brilliant for his time, but there's a whole history that I won't go in terms of how he ended up doing what he eventually did, writing the book The Prince, whereby he laid out for all, then it was the kings, who at the various kingdoms, they had in Italy, city-states, that if you're in power, this is what you're going to have to do to keep your power. If you're out of power and you want to be in power, this is what you're going to have to do to gain power. And this is how you keep your power for Eon. That's just some little background in terms of, again, if you got the promotion and you haven't been here for the last 3 years, trying to give you some background in terms of where we are. Whenever I talked about the Machiavellian agenda, I always talked about the end game. What really is the end game of the Machiavellian agenda? And if we just stick to public education, and then remember, I've always said that public education is just one theater of this war. By that, I mean there is a war on other aspects of life or institutions in this country and globally, as far as that goes. But now it's being in the last, depending if you want to, I go back a longer period than most people, but most people would say, with No Child Left Behind, 2002, that it's now our turn, public education and the public ed community, as we have known it in the past, is the target which the corporate government state elite is focusing its war efforts on. But even here, we see surface battles. We see the combatants, and we see what they say in terms of the reasons for the battle, what their goals are, and why they are engaged in this battle. Public schools are terrible. Public school teachers are miserable. They can't teach their way out of a wet paper sack. Schools need to be taken over, turned around, shut down, and handed over to corporations and to business entities and people who are supported by the billionaires. You know all of this. So, but that's the surface battle. I talk about the long-range goal and objective. When I say privatization, and if you remember my little like phrase, when I would say, when I say privatization, you think ownership and control of, when I say everyone, I mean 99% of America, the world. And when I say everything, I'm saying humanity and the planet. So that's a big statement, and that can be extremely difficult to wrap your head around. I mean, think about what I just said, and I've been saying for 3.5 years. The privatization of everyone and everything. Humanity and the planet. Well, I'm giving you some more clues here as to what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. And one more, I guess the biggest clue, because I said it right there in the promotion, that the end game is that our children are being indoctrinated and are being turned into guardians, activists, advocates of and for corporate war reform, for the corporate reform war. This is happening right in front of our eyes. And then the question, do you see it? Do you hear it? Now, then I lay out some ideas, some concepts, some theories, things that we've talked about in detail, again, over the last 3.5 years. And I say the dots, the words that lead to this end game. Again, giving you some clues here. The words that lead to this end game. The purpose, then I started giving these words and phrases. the purpose of education curriculum. But I'm going to go back on that. My very first show, I talked about what is the purpose of education. I'm silent because I really wish you guys, we were in the same room so that someone could say what the purpose of education is and their opinion and what they have been trained to believe the purpose of education. And given their experience here on the War Report, what do they now see the purpose of education? I said, okay, if you can wrap your head around this notion of purpose. And I've also said, when I say purpose, you think why. Because it is the why of everything that I believe is the most important thing. You may know why when people say motivation. When cops are trying to solve particularly a murder case, they say motive. If we know the motive, then we can begin to determine the who. It's a three-part riddle here when you're doing that type of investigation. You have the crime scene, you have the victim, but you also need to have the weapon. You need to have the why, the motive that gives you possible suspect. And then when you look at the suspects, you look at opportunity. Did this suspect have the opportunity to commit this crime? If a crime took place in L.A. and the suspect is in New Zealand, that goes that person as a suspect. But as long as we have some notion of the why, the motive, we can continue to generate a suspect list. So when I was saying, what is the purpose of education? I'm saying to you, if you can figure that out, or if you have an answer there, then you are so far ahead in this game than others are, because everything that happens or has happened happens for a reason. And that reason is the motivation. And motivation is the why. So anyway, that's another one of the clues that I'm throwing out here. And then curriculum. Remember, when I say this often, remember when I said so-and-so and so. Again, some of you have been with the War Report almost from the beginning. Others come in and out throughout the last 3.5 years. But I always end up saying, you know, remember when I said this or however I put it. But the notion that curriculum, I once said that Hitler and Mussolini, both, not Mussolini, Mussolini was Italy, I'm sorry, Stalin, Russia. What I'm about to say has been attributed to both of them. It goes something like this. He who controls the curriculum controls the future. You've got to get that. And you've been, if you're a teacher, even if a parent, you have to immediately get that dot. He who controls, you know, he or she who controls the curriculum controls the future. Wow. To me, that's heavy. That's really heavy. So, that's another one of the clues. Now, I'll talk about leads to social control of teachers and students. The purpose and the curriculum leads to the control of the teachers and the students. I talked about socialization. And remember, socialization is a sociological concept, and it refers to how children, newborn, or people who come into this country are socialized to fit into this country in terms of the culture, the laws, the status structure, power structure, and et cetera. There's this long process that basically teaches all of us our place in this society. That's what socialization does. Really, that's the purpose of it. That's the why of it. And I've also said that in the beginning, parents was the prime agent of socialization. Then the church, because you were socialized according to the church dictates, and parents have the obligation and responsibility to raise you within the purviews of the church canons dictates. Then there was a point when the schools here in America, the early 1900s, when the immigrant population coming from Europe mostly start flooding into the shores of America, there was this need for how do you receive these people, and coming with different languages, different cultures, different habits, and on and on and on, religion, da 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 da. Basically, how do you Americanize them? How do you make them what we want them to be if they're going to be in this country, which means recognize their place, their status, the role, recognize the values, the norms of the society, and the power structure, the economic structure, and everything pertaining to being, quote, in America or being an American. You know, all these concepts, I've identified them, I've talked about them in the past. And there are a lot more. And I talked about, you know, the corporate state, which I just mentioned, and I talked about something else too. The New Reich. The New Reich. Reich in German means empire. Hitler talked about he's a founder of the Third Reich. That there were two other Reichs, empires before him. Rome was an empire, lasted 1,000 years. Then the Second Empire, this was according to Hitler, was Germany under Bismarck. I have never gotten that. I know Bismarck. I have never seen what anybody could stretch their imagination to call Germany under Bismarck was the Second Reich. But let's go on. Hitler was going to have the Third Reich. Now, this is where the questions, do you see what I see, or do you hear what I hear, come into play. Let me add a couple more bits of information. I normally, you know, I think about my shows weeks, months in advance, and I think those of you who know me in terms of the show, you know, I research all the time. That's what I do. I'm forever trying to acquire knowledge and understanding. And so I always have, when I'm going to do a show, I have an idea about the show maybe weeks, months ahead of time. But usually, formally put the show together Thursday evening, Thursday night. Joe and I work it over. We get it all together. We send it out to our group, Deb, Joan. People will take a look at it, and then we go to press. Well, this show, something happened Monday, less than 24 hours after last week's show, that set this show in motion. And then Tuesday, something else happened that just solidified that this is what I need to talk about at this time this week, regardless of what I was planning a month ago, and or maybe even two. I talked to two individuals from different parts of the country. One shared an experience. The other shared some breaking kind of news, and they felt that I was the person that they needed to talk to about this. I'm not going to mention any of their names and try not to give any identifiers, so I'll go back to that old approach that I have used I don't know how many times when I talk about a person who might be male, female, a person who might be young or old, a person who may be on the West Coast, East Coast, North, South, and the person switches location so as not to be identified, and on and on and on. It's sort of a joke, but it's the way in which I try and keep one's identity secret, and that I don't say anything inadvertently that would give people a clue as to maybe where a person is and who the person is and what have you. And, of course, all of that came about because, you know, teachers have been scrutinized for anything and everything that they do, social media, their personal life, that could be used as a pretext to censor them, fire them, because the goal is to get rid of them. And so teachers have been told, you can't talk about Common Core. You can't talk about what's on the Common Core state standards test. You can't talk about, you can't do anything. You can't allow your students, and you know, you've been there. I mean, you're living it. So that's why I try not to inadvertently share a person's identification or things that would possibly lead to identifying them. I'm going to start with the first one. The first one is actually the second thing that happened. And we have this on our site, on the War Report site, and it deals with the white female teacher in Florida who called the black students in her class that they are rats that could infest the class. This took place in Jacksonville, Florida. I think it was last May. And the person who sent this to me, it was captioned, "This is why black parents don't like public education teachers." I didn't laugh, because I knew what she was saying. And then I know he didn't really mean it in the long run, that he or she was angry, and I let it go. I didn't come back to defend teachers. I read the article, and I was pissed off too, but also not surprised. If there was any element of surprise for me, was that someone would actually say this. I mean, you can think it, and you can act it, but to actually come out and say it so that the kids could go back and tell their parents, hell, that's one bold, bold individual. And it reminded me of something that I said in November 2016 when Trump was elected. I said, there were many things that feared me, and one was Trump getting elected would embolden people who elected him, people who shared his racist ideology, and who felt that with him in power and the people who supported him, high-ranking individuals in the government and locally, what have you, that there was this possibility that we would see more violence aimed at minorities. We would see people who secretly hate, disdain minorities for either religious play or sexual orientation, race, would be emboldened to let it all hang out. And so that, when the person sent me this article and I read it and we had an exchange, I did go as far as saying that the statement, this is why black people don't like white teachers in public schools and they go to charter schools, was an irrational statement in reaction to a very hateful experience. But the real thing that relates to our show today was that here was a teacher, elementary school teacher, who dealing with children who are at their most impressionable stages probably of their life. And whatever that teacher's values and norms, and she acts them out, it would could possibly influence children in her class forever. And you know what I'm talking about. Teachers, we do and can have tremendous impact on our students. And those, some of those students, that impact could be lifelong. And I'm thinking, this woman, the teacher, she could be doing so much harm, so much damage, that could influence so many children, their future, our future. She, to me, is a threat, a real threat. And there's more, and I'll allude to it as I go. I want to get to the next incident that took place, and that is that I'm only hesitating because I've got to figure out how I really want to say this. The conversation went something like this. A caregiver, tutoring family member, children, young children, two of them, less than 10. The youngest one, the caregiver is helping with homework. And the young child is trying to solve a problem, and she proceeds to solve it. Was having difficulty. It's a very, very young child. And the caregiver says, well, there's another way to try and solve this. And the caregiver proceeds to show this very young child another approach. The child's sibling, and remember, this is a caregiver, it's a family member. The older child, again, under 10, becomes indignant to some extent. And I am using a word, I can't think of another one at the moment. And proceeds to admonish the caregiver, saying, in essence, we can't use that approach. Saying, in essence, you are a bad person for even mentioning that other approach, let alone trying to teach the younger child this approach. It is, in German, verboten. It is forbidden. And you should know that it's forbidden. And you should be almost like ashamed of yourself. You figured it out. The young child was trying to solve a problem using the Common Core approach. The caregiver was showing the child an easier, I'm going to say better, you see my values, way to solve this issue or problem. When this was told to me, I was almost silent, and all I could say is, almost, did I hear you correctly? This actually happened? And then the words, do you hear, or did you hear what I heard in terms of you relaying this story to me? Do you see what I see? And if you do, that old expression, be afraid, be deathly afraid, is right in front of you. And we had further conversation. The person was devastated. This was a family member, a loving relationship, but the older child was basically calling her almost, I won't say enemy, but the tone, the emotion was, to me, right out of, and here I'm giving you the answer to the quiz, my understanding, my knowledge of Hitler's youth. And when I have talked through the years about the real end game, as I see it, as I feel it, is that it's not just the greedy corporate assholes want to destroy public education and erect a privatized system of education and get their hands on the $1.2 to $1.5 trillion that pre-K to PhD expenditures are in this country, the $7 trillion globally. Yes, that's one of the dots on the way to the end game. I did a show not quite a year ago, and I said it was the worst show that I've ever done. I was mortified. I was tearing myself to pieces. And I said this when we talked about Joan. Joan got in touch with me, and she said, it was not a terrible show whatsoever. But those of us who have been listening and who are aware and understand, like you have labored to make us over the months, got it. And then she went on to say, you have never done and you can never do a bad show, because everything that you try and tell us on each of the shows, things that we need to know and be aware of, da 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 da. And what I was trying to do on that show was to say to people, the real end game, and you may not see this because you're caught up in the moment and how that moment is affecting you, if you're a teacher, if you're a parent, your children, the real end game here is what is referred to as the remaking of humanity to serve the long-term interests of the new right. And in order to do that, back to Hitler, back to the Roman days, they all understood that to survive in power over the long term, you needed not only the current generation, but you needed the next generation, and next generation, and next generation to be the army that you need in order to have the Reich, the empire. You needed the current generation to seize your power and to keep you in power, but you needed future generations to have that long term, that 1,000 year reign. Okay? And so both Hitler, Mao Zedong, Stalin, all of the dictators and American president who have looked at, it's their time to build an empire. I don't know if you guys remember Bush too. He was frequently asked by the media, is an empire, an American building an empire? He would never answer the question. And when you think about England in its heyday, it was an empire. At one time, Spain, Portugal, all of these countries, and then there was countries in Africa. They were not empires in the sense that they controlled most of or all of the known world at their time, but they were empires in the sense that in their sphere of influence, they controlled generation after generation after generation. And so Hitler and Stalin, and even before them, going back to Roman time again, the Spartans, and I've talked about this before, the Spartan was a militaristic culture, and they started training the young boys as boys in the art of war. And they were some badass warriors too, believe me. The Spartans were feared. And it was a small, tiny nation. But the whole culture of the country was a war mentality. And you've seen depiction of this in movies, that the children are being prepared to become the next leaders. And they are, through military, through diplomacy, or what have you. But Hitler and Mussolini took it, or tried to take it, to a new level. But you know what happened to them. Now, and again, American has also tried to be an empire for I don't know how long. Okay, here's what the answer to my questions that I pose to you, right? I see, do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? The message is, kind of, you know, I've sort of like beat it over the head for years. One other thing. You know Deborah Emerson? She's one of the knights at the War Roundtable. She wrote a very nice summation of what she saw or what she is seeing and what she is hearing in response to my challenge. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I say? Deborah, I know you almost always listen to the show. If you could post on the War Report what you sent me late Thursday night or early Wednesday morning, and I told you that I would mention it and refer to it on the show, was very succinct but very poignant for me. Now, drum roll, please. When I had this conversation with the caregiver, I was kind of, I won't say devastated, but I was really shaken to the core. Because when I said, "Do you see what I see?" to that person, I was in essence saying, "I see Hitler's youth. I see that the corporate state and the Machiavellian agenda, they are succeeding in terms of the long game. This child under 10, who is so indignant that the caregiver was teaching, mentioning, talking about this forbidden old school way of solving the problem. Folks, that scared the hell out of me. And I'll give you some clues. Whether or not it was East Coast, West Coast, North Coast, South Coast, what have you, it was not a black child. It was not a child in poverty. It could be said it was a child that represents the classic middle-class white American standard-bearer child. If this doesn't scare the shit out of you, I don't know what. Because what I'm saying is that we know the war started in the ghettos. The poor, the black, the browns. We know that all across the country, those communities were targeted. And I talked about the notion that when you do a war, you always plan your war. You always pick the best spot for your offensive to start, which is the weakest spot of your enemy. World War II, D-Day, Allies stormed five beaches, Juno, Sword, Normandy, can't remember the other two. They picked those because the water, once the guys disembarked from the ships, got into their little craft heading towards the beach, the water was shallow enough so that, you know, the guys get out and try and wade to the water if they had to. All the things that was there. And if they were able to establish a beachhead on any of those five fronts, it would be from there that they would move into the interior. Well, in this war, they started in the ghettos. Black people, many of the men, can't vote because they have criminal records. poverty. They were the most vulnerable, and boom, that's who they went after. They saved white, oh, and the rural population, of course. They saved the white middle class for last. But that's where they thought, and rightfully so, they would get the most resistance. So, if the child is a representative of that generation, then white America across this country, we're in deep shit, folks. That child, I'm not saying that this is true, but that child could become that white teacher in Florida, okay, a few years from now. Remember, there was 60-plus million people who voted for Trump and his agenda? So that's what I was thinking. And the roadmap connecting the dots, you make the dots that I laid out on our promotion, you may connect them differently. But I will argue that you will possibly arrive at the same set of questions that you started with. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? You may connect the dots differently. You may go another path, but I think you can't help but arriving at the same conclusion that I've arrived at. Look at it this way. Socialization, indoctrination of children to promote, defend, protect, achieve, and perpetuate the new right, the 1,000-year reign of the new corporate state Machiavellian agenda to privatize, to own and control everyone and everything for the next 1,000 years. Tell me they are not well on their way to doing that. I'm not talking about how many charter schools. I'm not talking about how many places that they've busted the union and the thousands of teachers that they've gotten fired. And I'm not talking about the Teach for America replacement. I'm not talking about the Bessie DeVos people in power and what have you. I'm talking about reaching the pre-K, the elementary, the middle school, the high school, the college students, and remaking them into little individuals who be indoctrinated and believe an ideology that will serve not themselves, but the interests of the new corporate state. Will be willing to defend it, be willing to go to war for it, be willing to die for it, hence be willing to make sure that in their generation, in their time, they won't be a generation that lost that part of the war. That they will be like the Hitler's youth. And there's some books written on Hitler's youth, and there's a lot of stuff on the internet. If you're not familiar with it, you really should take a look at it. Teachers and parents, eye-opening. And if you think this is a stretch that I'm trying to show this impossible distance, to try and make a point that you don't think could possibly happen? Do you see what I see when I look out at our society today and over the last so many, well, in my case, 73 years? Do you see what I see? And when you hear the stories, when you see them yourself, do you hear what I hear? And how do you recognize, how do you put all of this together? And how do you assess it? And what conclusion do you come to? My conclusion is, we have in our midst Hitler's children. And if that doesn't frighten you, I don't know what will. The violence that are taking place on college campuses, the violence that's taking place on high school campus, middle school campus, now even to elementary campus, kids shouting out racial slurs, kids attacking, bullying non-white kids, not gender accepted identity kids. And if you don't see this and you can't connect the dots, well, I haven't done my job that well. But I think if you think about it, I would like to hear from you. But anyway, my time is up. I thank you and have a good rest of your Sunday. And we'll be back here next week. Have a good one, people.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.